If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Mark's Gospel in the 6th chapter. And just one verse of Scripture there I want to read to you. And it's a wonderful verse. Praise God. It's the 52nd verse in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. For they, his disciples, had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. This is an interesting verse. It's right after the loaves and the fish, the miracle of feeding the 5,000, and Jesus had, then he walked on the water. And the only gospel that records this verse is Mark's gospel. And he says that the hearts of the disciples was hardened and they didn't perceive the miracle of the loaves and the fish. They didn't see the greatness of it. They took it for granted. They were astonished that he walked on the water. That really astonished them, and it said with great astonishment. But they did not perceive the miracle of the loaves and the fish. And I read this so many times, and you know, you read it and you read it and you read it, and sometimes it doesn't get to you. This are the apostles. It says their heart was hardened. What hardened their hearts? They had seen so much that Jesus had done that they took it for granted. They just took it for granted. It did the miracle didn't impress them. They said, well, he just does miracles all the time. He heals everybody. And it didn't impress them. And tonight, God doesn't want you to let the prayers that he's answered and the things he's done for me and that he's done for you to go unnoticed and unappreciated and just take it for granted. We take so much for granted from God without stopping. Now, thank God we're praising him tonight. Let's praise him for everything. Let's praise him for everything. Don't leave anything. Don't let God do anything for you and you not perceive it and thank him for it and understand it and receive it. Praise God. He's done so much for us that we just take for granted. We take so much for granted. We don't appreciate it. We don't appreciate sometimes the way we should. We don't appreciate what we have. Now, my brother-in-law was talking about people hungry in Haiti and feeding the children. And, you know, we have so much here in this country and we take it for granted. We take so much for granted. Well, you know, we don't appreciate what we have. I thought the other day as we were walking, Elder Donovan and I were walking out in the lobby and here, and I usually come in the back door, and we're looking at this auditorium in this building. And I stopped and I said, you know, what a miracle this place is. What a miracle Times Square Church is. That God, thank God tonight that he raised up Pastor Dave to buy this place and made it possible for him to buy this place right here in Times Square and for God to fill this up and to send Pastor Carter and these pastors and this choir and everybody that cooperates. Folks, let's don't take it for granted. Let's thank him for it. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's thank God for it. Thank God. Someday you may not be here and you'll look at the great meetings, the praise and the worship. Don't take it for granted. Thank God with all of your heart. Thank him for it. Thank God for your home. Thank God for everything you've got. Thank God you're not in the hospital tonight. Thank God you're in the house of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God that we're not in some place, some bar tonight or some place drunk, alcoholics, that we're delivered, that we're here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If God hadn't have saved me, I would have no doubt been an alcoholic, probably dead years ago from alcoholism. I was drinking every night. But God set me free about five nights out of six. He saved me. I want to thank you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. That you broke the chains. That you set us free. We thank you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Now, I want to read another scripture to you found in St. Luke's Gospel. Praise God. St. Luke's Gospel, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to praise God. It starts at the 36th verse. Then one of the Pharisees asked him, the man's name was Simon. He's a Pharisee. He's a very religious man. The straightest, strictest sect of all were the Pharisees. And the leaders had nothing to do with Jesus. They rejected him. But this man invited Jesus to his house, apparently a well-off man. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, now remember this, behold a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she knew, she heard, and it came, news reached her that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house. She came, brought an alabaster flask of precious fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him. Now you have to understand how they sat. See, you know, people think they didn't sit at tables like we do. There's no way in the world if you sit at a table for her to get to his feet. See, they didn't sit at tables like we do. Then that's what makes the story so different. Their table was about this high. They sat on the floor, and you sat on the side, and you sat leaning on your left hand, and your feet are behind you, and you sat down like this, and you reached over on the table and ate with your right hand. I can't get down there and get back up, so I can't quite show you how it's done. But if you'll just picture with me, the table's about that high. And they sat right on the floor, and their legs, their feet are behind them. So she walked around. It's a round table, not, you know, like the artist, the Italian artist has a Last Supper, and they've got them sitting at a square table like a Roman table. It was not the way they ate at all. It was totally nothing to do with how they did it in the Bible. They sat down on the floor. His feet are behind him. And she comes in behind him, and she kneels down at his feet, gets down at his feet, behind him weeping. She's crying profusely, and she begins to wash his feet with her tears. She is crying so profusely that she's washing his feet with tears. And she's wiping his feet, drying his feet with the hair of her head. Now she's down with him. Now she's down, and she's got his feet in her hands, and she's weeping over his feet, and she's drying them with the hair of her head, and wiping them with the hair of her head, and she's kissing his feet. These feet are dirty. They're dirty. They don't have shoes on. They're walking in dirt. And she's washed them with tears, and she's dried them with her hair. And she's kneeling down there at his feet, and she's kissing his feet, kissing them, kissing his feet and anointing them. And then she's putting the fragrance on his feet and rubbing his feet and kissing them and weeping over them. Now when this Pharisee Simon, who had invited him to the house, saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he was a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is that's touching him. She's a sinner. And look what she's doing. She's down at his feet, and he doesn't say anything, but he's humiliated and mortified and disgusted with this woman. Jesus answers and says to Simon, "Simon, I have something to say to you." He said, "Teacher, say it." He said, "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other owed him 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, Simon, which of these would love him the most?" Simon said, "I suppose the one that he forgave the most." And he said to him, "You're absolutely right, rightly judged. That's the truth, Simon." Then he turned to the woman. He's sitting down here now. He turns to her, and she is there with him. "Do you see this woman?" He said, "Do you see her? See this woman, Simon? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. You didn't water, you didn't give me a basin, which was common, have servants wash your feet. You didn't have anybody to wash my feet. You didn't do that for me. But she has washed my feet with her tears." Have you ever really gotten that low with God and such love with him? That's where I want to be. It's where I ought to be. It's where Ben Crandall. Nobody here needs this sermon any more than I do. I'm not telling you, look, I'm like this and that's. No, no, no. I should be there. I should be there. I should be that woman. I don't want to be Simon, folks. I don't want to be like Simon. I don't want to just have a formal religion. Now, he didn't blame Simon. He appreciated it. He went to Simon's house. But we have so many people, millions of folks, so many in America that they go to church Sunday morning, and he invited Jesus. He does so much. I do enough. I do enough. I give a tithe. I do enough. I go to church. I do my part. I want to. I love God. But I have other things, and God is a certain little area, nice area. I give him an area. That's God's, and the rest is all mine. And I do a little bit for God. I do some things for God. We got millions in America like that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I want to be like the woman that had served God with passionate love. Passion, passionate love. And he said, "You didn't do anything to wash my feet. She's washed them with my tears, and she's wiped my feet with the hair of her head. You didn't have a servant here to wash my feet. You didn't have anybody. You didn't do it. You didn't have anybody did it. She did it. You gave me no kiss. I walked in here, Simon, you never kissed me. You just were respectful. No passion, no heart, no passion in it. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet ever since I came in here. You never gave me a kiss on the cheek, but this woman has never stopped kissing my feet. She's kissed them ever since I came in here. While you were all making fun of her, while you were all criticizing her, looking down on her, she's been down here kissing my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil when I came in as a special guest, but this woman has anointed my feet. You didn't anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with this expensive, this fragrant oil. Didn't have it. Passionate giving, passionate love. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this? But Jesus forgives sins. But Jesus said, your faith, woman, has saved you. Passionate serving God with passion, with heart, with feeling, with humility, down at his feet. Don't be Simon. Be the woman. Ask God to help you. And we ought to. We owe it to. I am no better than the woman. I was a sinner. So what? What amount of sin? What's the difference? I was a sinner just same as she was. I was lost. And I want to be like her, to have passion in my love, passion in my prayer, passion in my giving. It was expensive. She brought expensive stuff that cost her so much, this perfume. Expensive, passionate giving. Passion in your prayer and in your witnessing and in your service for God. God wants love. He gave us with such love. He loved us with an everlasting love. God is love. Jesus Christ was incredible. That's why I love John's gospel the best of all of them, because John loved Jesus and caught on and writes more about it in his gospel than any other. But I want to tell you something, folk. Ask God to put passion in your heart toward him, that we serve him with our heart, that we have heart in serving God, that it's not cold, formal, and I give you so much, and this is for you, God. And now everything is for me, and I want you, and I'm going to keep you at a certain distance from me, and I'll give you so much time, and the rest of the time is mine. God wants us to serve him with all of our heart, with a whole heart. And he wants us in humility. We need to be down, as I do. And we need, all of us need to be down at his feet because of what he did for us, the price he paid for us, how he went to the cross for us, how he bore my sins and took my sicknesses and took my place on the cross, that I could take his place with him in heaven, that we could trade places. I want passion in my serving of God. Don't you? Tonight, let's give God a hand. I want passion. Passion in prayer. Praying with passion, with heart, really getting into it. Years ago, in our little mission, we were in a mission store in Brooklyn. That was our first store, first building. We had 48 broken chairs, really broken, leaning like this. You never need to worry about sitting behind anybody in the mission because no chair sat straight. You know, they were all broken. And that's the truth. The old chairs, little old teeny folding chairs. Terrible place. Smelled so terrible. The rugs were unbelievable. And we had a young man from Ireland got saved. Wonderfully saved. He was in the Merchant Marines toward the end of the war. They were in the British Marine, Merchant Marines, ships getting sunk all the time. His sister had gotten saved and they came from Harlem, and she would come over there to Brooklyn to our mission. And she got her brother to come, and he was from Ireland, and they were Irish, and they were in the British part, apparently, in the British Navy, Merchant Marines. And he'd gotten an Irish sailor, had been witness to him on the ship, and he got wonderfully saved. Never been to church in his life, never been to church. And he says to them, we're going to church, to the mission, and we've only got one meeting because our ship leaves New York, and we're going to be sailing, and this is the last church service you'll ever get in. Never been into one before. You're going to go to church once, just once. But he says, when you go, you have to get the Holy Spirit, because that's the only chance we've got. And we're not going to get back. And he had just gotten saved himself a year or two before. I knew very little. But he says, we're going to go and they'll pray for the Holy Spirit. And when you got us, now you got to get the Holy Spirit that night. That's the only chance you got. And he said, when we go, he said, you sit there. And when they say, come forward and pray, he said, and they'll invite you to pray for the Holy Spirit as well. And we'll pray for you gotten saved. But now we'll pray for the Holy Spirit. And when they say, come up here and pray, say, you forget everything and you call on God and you ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget it. I was preaching and they were sitting right in the front. You know, the church was this size here, you know, the whole thing, you know, it was like that big. And they sit right here in front of me, and I'm preaching, and every time I'd pause for a few minutes, he'd start to get up. He said, no, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. And we'd preach a little while, and he's got to jump up to run to the front to pray, to kneel down about five or six steps. But he wouldn't move, and he'd say, not yet. So finally, when he came, I never saw anybody pray with passion. He called on God. He didn't know the language, but he called on God with everything within him. And people were praying around him and praying for him, and he's praying, and then he had his jacket off. And then he started praying. He's crying, and he's praying. I mean, he's calling on God. He is calling on God. Because he's going to the sea. The ship may never get to port. He wants the Holy Spirit. He needs the Holy Spirit. And he's calling on God. He's praying. And then he got a little bit hot. And he took his shirt and just and ripped all the buttons off and tore the shirt off. Didn't blink an eye. Tore his shirt off. And now he's no shirt on. Now he's got his hands up here. And he's calling on God. Well, in about, I don't know how many minutes it was, God filled him. Did he fill him? He sure did. He filled him with the Holy Spirit. No shirt. Praise God. He don't have a shirt on. But he's praising God, and he's praying with passion. He's praying with intensity. He's praying with earnestness. You know, lukewarm prayers are worthless. Get a hold of God when you pray. Get passion in your praying and seeking God with all of your heart, and he'll hear him. We heard from him. His wife had never been able to have a child. They got back home. He was marvelously blessed in the church, used of God, and they had a family, and he went on to do wonderful things for God. I'll never forget the prayer meeting. Praise God. There's got to be passion in your serving God. Form is okay, but it won't do the job. What God wants is heart. He wants heart. He wants passion in his love, passion in your prayer, passion in your service to God. Hallelujah. Praising God and you're listening to the voice of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I remember some years ago, I was going to help a young man who had a family problem. His wife lived in Massachusetts. We were from Brooklyn. And we started out. And it was late at night. He worked all day, so we had to go at night and drive a long ways. It was late at night. Got into somewhere around the edge of Massachusetts, Connecticut, and we were talking about the Lord. He always talked about the Lord. This man, God wonderfully saved him. And we missed a sign. We missed a sign, tremendous sign. We got off the road. We were talking. And so we stopped. We saw a gas station. I went in to ask directions how to get back on the road. And I pulled away. It's late at night. And the Spirit said to me, go back and speak to that man about the Lord. So I told the driver, wait here. Take me back. We're not far. I've got to speak to this man about the Lord. Even though it's late at night, I said, we're late. I've got to speak to him about the Lord. God wants me. I went back in, and we didn't have much time, and I said to him right away, right quickly, I said, you know, I want to witness to you about Jesus Christ coming into your heart. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? He said, no. But he said, you know what? He said, please do tell me. He said, I was in the war and in a foxhole, and everybody was being killed around me. And I called on God, and I said, God, if I get home, I'm going to serve you. And he said, nobody's told me. I really want God. He said, could you help me? Would you pray? I said, yeah, we'll pray right now. We got down and prayed in that gas station. He cried out to God to come into his heart. He had been waiting all that time for someone just to come and to tell him about the Lord, that would tell him about Jesus, that would tell him. I told him how to find a gospel church, and he thanked me profusely before we left. He said, I've been waiting for these several years for somebody to tell me about Jesus. Folks, they're out there, but you've got to be passionate, and you've got to look, and you've got to open your eyes and listen to the Spirit and be available. Be passionate in your service to God. And let's give him everything and work for him with passion and serve him with passion. Thank you that you praise him with passion. But don't just praise him in the church. Praise him. I know you don't, but praise him all the time. Praise him at home. Serve God with heart. With heart. It's a hungry world. Jesus wants your heart. Praise God. Some years ago, I was preaching in Canada and preaching away. And we had no meeting on Saturday night. It's a large city in Canada. And all day I was praying. And the Spirit said to me, go to the Salvation Army tonight. I'd heard they're having special meetings. Go to the Salvation Army. I've never been before nor since. But and I love the Army. So don't have nothing. I love them. So it isn't that. It's just that I've go to different churches. And I went to the Salvation Army that night, and they had a great meeting. The man, there was a couple hundred people. The man preached a wonderful gospel service sermon and gave an invitation, and not a soul came. As soon as he started, I said, I better slip out. My picture had been in the paper. It had been advertised. I was in a large church, seen 1,000 people or more, and this was a small place. I'm afraid they'd think I was there for the wrong reason, so I slipped out. I'm walking. I said, I wonder why in the world God told me to go to Salvation Army. And nothing happened. I'm walking down the street toward the hotel where I'm staying to witness to this alcoholic I've been witnessing to. And I see a young man dressed real nice sitting in an alleyway on a box, and he's crying. And I started to pass him, and the Spirit said to me, go speak to him. Well, I'm from Brooklyn. You don't speak to people in alleyways. You don't go around talking to people that are sitting in alleys. You don't walk in alleys. And the Spirit said, go speak to him. I turned and I went around. I put my arm on his shoulder and I said, son, why are you crying? He's dressed so nice. And I can smell alcohol. He's crying. And he said, I should have been in that church service in the Salvation Army. I should get saved. I need God. He said, I need God. I could tell he needed God. And he said, but I go, and when I go to the altar, they just say, Bram, old boy, take it by faith, and I don't have anything. And if I go, they just send me away. He said, I need God. I said, would you go with me? I'll go back with you. We'll go in. They're still singing. He said, would you go with me? I said, yes, I'll go with you. Now I said, come on, we'll go together. And I said, now, and when they tell you to leave and to get up on that altar, I'm going to stand right over you and with you, and I won't let them do that. I will stay. Will you stay with me? I said, I'll stay right there with you till you get through. I will not let them dismiss you. So we went in and we walked down the aisle together. They're still singing. They walked down the aisle together. Bram and I, we fell at the altar. He just fell down. And some of the, and they dismissed the service. A few of the officers came around him and started praying. And one of the men came over to him and said, Bram, old boy, take it by faith. You've got it. Go home. You've got it. And Bram started crying. He stood up. He started crying. And before I could even get in, this whole happened, and he said, "I don't have anything." And he fell on his face flat on the floor right there at the altar, the Salvation Army, and started crying. And I went to him. I said, "Now, don't you send him away anymore." I said, "He's going to stay here, and we're going to pray with him as long as he wants to pray. We're going to stay here tonight and pray. We're going to really pray and really pray." And so I took over. So we stayed. And so anybody to stand up and start, I said, no, stay right there. Keep right praying. Keep on praying. I said, just let him pray. You pray with him. Don't you get up. Don't do that. So one of them came to me in about a few minutes and says, how is it that you came and you took charge? I said, "What I'm saying, is it what I'm doing right?" He said, "Hell yes, what you're doing is the right thing." I said, "Don't ask any questions. Don't say anything about it. Just keep doing what I say. Just keep doing it." So he shut up. He knelt down and he kept on praying. And we kept on praying and praying. And finally the sexton saw I was in charge, and he came to me. And he said, I have to close this place down. It's getting late. We got to quit. We got to leave. And I said, can we go downstairs while you close the upstairs up? He says, okay, go downstairs. So we went downstairs. I said, we're all going downstairs and pray down in the basement. So we went down in the basement. We kept on praying. And Bram came too in the basement, he began to get sober. And he was really seeking God with all of his heart. I had everybody praying. I wouldn't let them talk. Kept on praying. And finally, the sexton came really late and says, "Mister, I've got to close this church up." I said, "Folks, do we have anybody here with a home we can go to keep on praying? Bram is not finished. And we're going to pray. We're seeking God here tonight. No foolishness." And he said, one man says, "You can come to my house." We can go to my house. One of the elders said, "You can go to my house and pray." And we all said, okay, we got in a car, two cars or so, and we all went up to this house. Now it's late, about 11 o'clock, and we're praying, seeking God. And we're crying and praying in this man's house, an old English house. Oh, I'll never forget the floor and old furniture there, real old English place. And we're praying and seeking God. And finally, this young lady comes. Come to find out, it's Bram's wife. She comes down and says, "God, have mercy on me. I've got to get back and get right with God." She starts crying out to God, and she gets right with God, and she's praying, and God saves her. And then the little girl comes, it's Bram's daughter. She comes and said, "Maybe you folks would pray with me." She's crying, and she gets saved. And oh, in the middle of the night, I don't know, it must have been 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, Bram shot his hands up in the air, and he screamed, and he says, "Thank God, I've got it. God has saved me. Hallelujah. I'm saved. Praise God." And we're praising God. It's midnight, and then his mother's an invalid. Come to find out, it's Bram's father that invites us. He's an elder in the church that invites us to his house. I don't know that, of course. And so his mother is there, and we go. She's sick, and she's an invalid. And she says, "Maybe God will heal me." And we wind up praying for her. And we're there at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's crying. Everybody's praising God. We're seeking God. And all of a sudden, I felt like speaking in tongues. I thought, this is dangerous. This is a Salvation Army. It's a Salvation Army place, you know. But I say, well, the damage is done already. Hallelujah. And so I began to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. And sure enough, one of the officers, he begins to speak in tongues. And we have a tremendous meeting. And then I tell him who I am. But I said, "Don't anybody come there tomorrow night. Don't come next Sunday night. Don't come." I said, "When it's your services in the morning, you go there. Tomorrow night, there's no service in your church, then you come." I said, "We're not here to take you out of your church. We're here to meet Jesus with all of our heart." Hallelujah. And sure enough, that night, on the balcony, sitting up across the balcony, building a seat, about 1,000 people, and sitting across the balcony is Bram. His name is Bram Marshall. Bram and his wife and the daughter and the father and some of the other officers, the whole crowd are sitting across there. When I stand up to preach, old Bram just waves his hand like that to me, and I wave back at him, right? And we had a tremendous service. I went home. I got a letter. And he said, "Pastor, thank God that you came by that night and led me back into the meeting. I was a hopeless alcoholic. My wife was leaving me. I had lost my job. I was being destroyed. My family was destroyed. That night, God saved me, delivered me from alcohol, brought my wife back to God. We're back together. I am free from alcohol. We're serving God. I'm working. Our home is back together. Thank God for that night that you met me outside on a Saturday night." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Passionate. Passionate. I can't talk here. Passionate. Let's have heart. Be that woman. Will you ask God tonight? If you're not saved here tonight, God will save you. He loves you with an incredible love that is beyond any description that we could give. He loved you. If you had been the only one, that he would have died for you. You are worth his life. He loves you. And love wants love back. And if you're unsaved, come and he will break the chains. He died for you. He broke Satan's power. He's broken the chains. There is deliverance for you. Bram Marshall is no different. He wants to save you and heal you and break and work in your life. Give him a chance. Half-heartedness doesn't work, folks. Let's give him our whole heart. And we want to serve him with everything within us. And tonight, if you are serving God, ask him to help you. Serve him with all of your heart. Love him with all of your heart. Love him. He said, "Love me more than you love your family." Love your family. Yes, but love Jesus most. Love him most. Love him most. Love your job, but love him more. Love everything. Love people, but love Jesus most. Tonight, I want you to ask God. The pastor's coming back. I want you to come with me. I'm asking God, give me that love, that passionate love that the woman had that knelt at your feet and washed them with her tears. Help me not to serve you half-heartedly. Help my service to be passionate. Help my giving to be passionate. Giving generously out of love, not out of necessity. God wants my tithe. No, 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 no. God wants your heart. When he has your heart, it's a joy to give. When he has your heart, it's a joy to serve. When he has your heart, it's a joy. Serve him passionately. Pray passionately. Live passionately. And hallelujah, because someday he's going to embrace you. I want him to smile when I walk in. I want him to smile when you walk in. And I want to kiss him and love him. And I want to kiss his feet like the woman did. I want to be down there. Come as the pastor comes tonight. Come on down. And let God soften our hearts. Don't be like the apostles that don't see the miracles. Oh, give us heart and let us see you, Jesus, and love you with all of our heart. God bless you, Pastor, as you come.
Praise God. Folks, let's stand together quietly and reverently tonight. I know the Holy Spirit's been speaking to our hearts tonight. If you're here and you sense that stirring, God's putting a finger on something. He's saying he wants it. He wants everything tonight. You need to get out of your seat and join us here at the front of this church, what we call an altar. And God is going to stir up that passion in you once again. He's going to light that fire in you once again tonight. Even as you come, I believe he's doing it already. There are some folks in here, even as we heard tonight, your heart has grown hard. You're taking God for granted. You're taking the things that God has done, and you've lost your song, and And unbelief has set in. You know, sometimes unbelief can set in because we're just doing our own thing. And we're just doing our own thing, and unbelief can begin to set in, and then that callousness, that hardness, to a point where we come to church and we just go through the motions, but it's over tonight. It's all over. That hardness is going to go in the name of Jesus tonight. We're letting that thing go tonight. Get out of your seat up in the balcony. In the annex, we'll wait for you tonight. Come and receive that fire, that passion. Let God send His power of His Holy Ghost upon you tonight, that passion on the altar of your heart once again. If you are backslidden, you've drifted away from the Lord, you come. If it's your first time here and you've never been in a church like this, you come tonight, even as Pastor shared. This is your night for a miracle. He will change your life. He will transform you. You will walk out of here. You'll never be the same. He'll give you a new life, His life. He'll take your old broken life and He'll give you His life, a new life tonight, a supernatural life in the name of Jesus. We're going to worship a little bit, and then we're going to come back and we're going to pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Folks, you know why you came tonight. Why don't you go ahead and talk to Him tonight? Just begin to talk to Him. Those in the congregation, I want you to put forth your hands. Choir, elders, we're going to pray for these at the altar for a breakthrough tonight. Let's begin to pray for our brothers and sisters that they'll get a release tonight, a breakthrough tonight in the name of Jesus. Come on, folks, lift your voice. Let's begin to pray. Those at the altar, you begin to talk to Him. If you need forgiveness tonight, if you need deliverance, if you need healing tonight, if you need a release tonight, if you need to be set free tonight, ask Him. Tell Him why you've come. Just ask Him. Ask Him tonight. He wants to hear your voice tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You tonight for the victory. We thank You for the victory tonight. Father, we thank You for hearing our cry. We thank You, Lord Jesus. We thank You that You're in this place, oh God, moving in every life, moving in every heart, oh God. Thank You for stirring us, oh God. Ignite us. Lord, we cry out to You in accordance with what we've heard tonight. We ask for that passion. We ask for that fire. We ask, oh God, Lord, that we would not go through the motions, oh Lord. Lord, we would not just sing the songs of Zion, but we pray that faith would continually arise in our hearts. Lord, we would sing and pray with understanding. God, that we would give You the glory and the honor that's due Your name. Father, we thank You tonight for hearing us. We thank You for speaking to us. We thank You for delivering us. Father, we thank You for stirring us, for touching us. Father, we proclaim healing. We proclaim liberty. We proclaim freedom in this house. God, send the fire of the Holy Ghost on the altar of every heart, oh God, in this place. Father, we want to glorify You. Be glorified in our generation. Be glorified in our generation. Ignite our prayer times. Ignite our devotional times. Ignite us, oh God. Ignite a song in our souls. Ignite a song in our souls, oh God. God, give us a word for this generation. Give us a word for our neighbors, a word for our co-workers, a word for our family members. Give us a word in our devotions. God, give us a word. Let the word be like fire shut up in our bones, oh God. Let faith arise. Let every mountain of unbelief melt like wax continually in Your presence. God, we thank You in advance for what You're doing tonight. We thank You, oh God, for the glory that's going to be in this house. Lord, the glory that's going to be in our souls as we walk the streets of New York City. God, a glory. You said the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. God, we thank You, oh God, for the glory. We thank You for the praise, the honor that alone is due You, oh God. God, we magnify You. We glorify You tonight. God, we thank You for hearing us. God, and we bless You tonight. We bless You, Jesus. We bless You. We bless You for freedom. We bless You for victory. We bless You for healing. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. A church on fire for Jesus.
Every single one. Everyone. Everyone is going, folks. Everyone is going. We don't leave one man behind. Everyone is going. A church on fire.